to take you to work, to take you where you need to go. All right, well, praise God. Happy Sunday morning to you. Feliz Domingo por la mañana. Pastors Jose and Patricia, we want to welcome you to New Beginnings Church of the Big Bend, a church you can call home, where we honor God, love family, serve others, and we pursue excellence. And we have a passion for God and a passion for souls. Man, you got to keep that going. Man, you're His child. You're His church. You're His body going somewhere to happen for somebody. Amen. So praise God. We want to welcome NBC family, visitors, and all of you that are joining us by audio and video. All we ask you to do is prepare yourself to receive. God has something special for you. Amen. So praise God. Bienvenidos a la Iglesia del Nuevo Comienzo. Bienvenidos a todos los que nos escuchan por audio y video. Prepárense a recibir lo que el Señor tenga para usted. Amen. So praise God. Amen. I haven't read these before, but I'm going to read them to you. Listen to this. Allow the Word of God to change you, bless you, encourage you, and to correct you. Amen. He wants to correct you to do the right thing. Line up with what the Word of God says, not with what the world says, not what the negative stuff is saying, but what the Word of God says, man. I want to line up. GPS, right? Focus on what God wants me to do. Whew. Hallelujah. Permita que la palabra de Dios te bendiga, te dé ánimo, te cambie y te correge. Amen. He wants to correct you. So you line up with the Word of God. Amen. Leave a new person. Don't. God is not finished with you. All His plans. Let me read it to you this way. It says, He has great plans for you, but none of them include defeat. Amen. None of them include defeat. Amen. So be available. Let go and let God know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen. Woo, praise God. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And again, see yourself the way God sees you. He sees you a winner. He sees you a champion. And He sees you an overcomer. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Praise God. Yes. Okay. Hallelujah. Well, I just want to let you know I'm not bringing the word today. Ryan is coming up. Brother, come on up. He's going to bring the word today. And you know what? Prepare yourselves to receive. God has a special message He wants to deliver through him. Amen. So praise God. God bless you, brother. Let me give you this.
Thank you. God bless you. Good morning. So, every pastor, every preacher, every evangelist has their own way of doing things and getting the text and all the things that God gives them. I've told you before that quite often I'll see something, or I'll experience something, or I'll see something on TV, and God will bring it to my memory. That is something, you know, because we did one time, you know, we were playing hide-and-go-seek, and ready or not, here I come. Well, Jesus one day is going to be saying the same thing. Ready or not, I'm coming for you. So different things trigger different things to read my messages. And Pastor alluded to what I was going to do today. God on the mountain, God on the valley. So today we're going to talk about growing in the valley. Everyone loves the mountaintop experience. That's something we're always aiming for, to get that mountaintop experience where everything is great. You know, God is just blessing us. But what happens when we find things that are going against us? We're fighting things. Things are going wrong. All of a sudden, you know, we don't have a job. We don't have a car. We don't have our kids are, you know, are sick or in jail, or marriages are falling apart. All different kind of things are happening to bring it down from that mountaintop down to real life. So I was thinking, you know, God had been keeping me awake at night, just bringing all this stuff to me, and I can't write it all down. There's no way I'd have 15 hours of stuff that. So I've got it down to like five or six different things we're going to be talking about. The first one, if you will turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. Now this Bible I have here has got four different versions in it, and the words are kind of small, so give me a little bit here to kind of... I'm actually going to start reading in verse 24. So I'll give you time, a little chance to get there. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 24. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice, three times, I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, people talking against you, you know, accusing you of things you didn't do, in weariness, in painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things there are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Even after all the things he was going through, everything he had suffered, his main concern was the church. Keeping the church body fed, alive, and vibrant. You'll never know what things our pastors go through if we... as I use mere mortals, if we as regular people have temptations and things trying to keep us away from the Word, how much more are our pastors being bombarded with things to get them to throw the towel in, to walk away, say, no one ever shows up anyway, why do I go through all this and no one shows up? If no one shows up, the pastor is still diligent in his bringing the Word. Pastor Jose could be up here and not a single person here seeing it or watching it. He's faithful in delivering it. Same thing with you and I. If we are faithful, and no matter what comes our way, faithful in bringing God's message, God's love, God's peace to someone else. As Pastor said, you may be the only person that brings God's Word to them. You may be the only Bible someone ever reads. You might be the only sermon someone ever hears. You may never preach a word to them, but your love, your kindness, your mercy, your understanding, your forgiveness to them might be what it takes to get them to come to Jesus. I have not gone through anything like what Paul went through. As Pastor said, I was in jail, you know, for the second time. You think I'd learned the first time, but apparently it wasn't bad enough. And I put my shirt, my pants into a little ball for a pillow, and I was sitting there, laying there freezing, and it was not good. It was Super Bowl weekend, no TV, no Super Bowl. I mean, this is a cruel, unusual punishment, but, you know, it is. God would be showing me that there are people out there who have just cried their last tear. They've cried and cried. They've asked God, you know, for whatever it might be. Maybe it's for healing. Maybe it's for deliverance. Maybe it's for, you know, whatever it could be. Maybe they're strung out on drugs and they're just sick of it. They're trying to get off of it. And they've cried, God, deliver me from this. Deliver me from this. You know, forgive me. And nothing seems to happen. Their prayers don't get any higher than their roof. God still hears you. But it comes to a point where we need, it all depends on how sincere we are. And if we can do it on our own, then we don't depend upon God. We get to the point where there's nothing we can do. We've done everything we can do to solve the problem. And I don't know why, it's always backwards. You always try and solve it ourselves first before we go to God. How much easier would it be for us if we just said, God, this is the problem. This is the situation. I can't deal with this. I can't handle it. I don't understand what to do. It's in your hands. I don't know how many times Pam and I have come upon a situation and just is like, well, this is it. I don't know what we're going to do, but God does. God, whatever it is that brings you glory, so be it. Whether we lose the car, whether we lose the house, whether, you know, nothing seems to go right, God, whatever brings you glory through this, so be it. And God always turns things around. Not on my time frame, not on my wife's time frame, but on His. He has a time and a place for everything. If Paul had not experienced the things he went through, he would not be able to go through other people and say, okay, I went through all this, yet God brought me through it. There's an old saying, if God brings you to it, He'll take you through it. It doesn't go around it. It doesn't stop until it's all gone. Then you go through. God is that friend who never leaves you, never forsakes you. He's closer than a brother. Remember that poem, The Footsteps? You know, everything is going great. You know, walking hand in hand with Jesus, as the song says. And all of a sudden, there's only one set of footprints. God, I was going through all this and You seemed to abandon me. Why did You abandon me? Why did You leave me? God says, all those times you saw one set of footprints, you're going through all the things you were going through, I carried you. You didn't leave it. You didn't leave me. I didn't forsake you. I was there. I was carrying you. But sometimes we have to go through some things to truly appreciate what God does for us. If everything was rosy, you know, nothing was wrong, we would have no need for God, you know, we think. I'm self-sufficient, I can take care of this. You know, I am so important that my job is never going to fire me. I mean, we have people here that just have lost their jobs for no reason. There is a reason, we just don't know what that reason is. And it's not for us to determine what that reason is, it's to turn it over to God. Carmen, there's a job for you someplace, and God's going to bring it to you. I believe it. I believe it. I don't know what it is. It's not my business. God's going to bring you a job. It's going to be perfect for you. Each and every one of us have gone through things that other people are going, I can't believe you survived that. And my eyes are watering now. I can't even see. Thanks, Carmen. But, you know, I can't imagine what it would be like to be in the... Because, you know, when Paul was down there in the Greek islands, you know, they had the shipwrecks, and he said, God told him, you know, you're going to lose everything. There won't be a life lost. So they're all grabbing parts of the ship, they're all floating on stuff, you know, and my brain's going to see jaws come along, rump, 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 you know. And, no, okay, we're good. You know, floating in the days and nights, you know, and it's cold. I mean, you'd be freezing in that water. No food, no nothing. Just depending on God. God said that you would not die. He'd get you there safely. Okay, I don't know how you're going to do it. Let's kind of hurry it up a little bit because I'm cold in here. But he wasn't doing it to boast on himself. He is boasting on Jesus. Oh. When the valley, when you go to the mountain, the very, very top, the ground up there is not very fertile. Not much grows in the snow line. There's nothing up there. When you come down a little bit, you find some pockets of valleys, but you get down to the very bottom, the big valley, where the rivers are running through it, the grass is green, the grass is lush. That's where the shepherds took their sheep. Now, when everything was good, the shepherd could kind of stand back a little bit, sit on a rock, and kind of watch the sheep graze. But when danger came along, when something happened, the shepherd had to get a little closer to guard the sheep. Same with Jesus. Psalms 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because I can handle it all. No? Because thou art with me. You are with me. He's right there with us. Does that mean we'll never be afraid? No. There are things that kind of get me kind of fearful. Then I have to remind myself that it's God who's got me in the palm of His hand. He's covered me with the palm of His hand. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. There's things that there's times I've walked away a little bit. I've turned my back a little bit, kind of decided I could do things. Oh, I can handle this. I found out I'm not a very good mechanic. I am not even a carpenter. I've tried things and I've failed so miserably, costing more to go back and have somebody else come in and do the things that I've messed up. Same thing in my spiritual life. You know, there's things that I'm not good at. I depend upon God for everything. Paul wasn't growing on mountaintops. He was growing in deep places. The things where the ground is fertile, the water was plentiful. You go there and you get nourished, you get reinvigorated, you get strengthened. So climbing the mountain can be an arduous task. If you're on mountain climbing or rock climbing or on hikes, sometimes you're kind of steep. You got to have a little walking stick maybe, or grab on a tree and pull yourself up. Getting to that mountaintop is not easy. But once you get there, the view is beautiful. But the winds come, all the things that on top of the mountains can be very, very cold, very miserable. But the thing is that God is always there with us. We need the mountaintop experiences to appreciate the times we're in the valley. But we need the valley experiences, the time when the things are going hardest, the roughest, to appreciate it when God brings us out of it. We will never truly understand why God allows us to go through things. God, everything is going so good. I had everything so right. Why'd you take it away from me? No, He didn't take it away from us. God allows things to happen in our life. He didn't cause it to happen. He allows things to happen sometimes. He sees how we're going to choose Him or walk the other way. So if things are going sour, are we going to go this way and start blaming God for it? Or are we going to turn the other way and say, God, I don't know how you're going to get glory for this. I don't know what's happening. But Lord, I surrender it all to You. All to You, that You get the praise. It's something that, unless you've gone through it, you never know what it's like to be totally without everything. When I got out of jail, I had no house, no car, no wife, no kids, no nothing. It's all gone. So I went back to the house I was living in. There was no electricity in it. And I stayed there for a while until I got, started going to church. And God started bringing little bit by little bit, started getting things better a bit. When I accepted Jesus in jail, I was already married, but we separated. My girlfriend brought me a carton of cigarettes, and I just gave up cigarettes. So, all right, guys, here they are, you know. You know, it wasn't like I'll smoke a few while I'm in here. No, I got a whole brand new carton of cigarettes, and back then you could smoke in jail. You gave it to the guys that I was in with, of course that made them happy, but when we're in the valley, so we start to depend upon the shepherd more and more every day. The shepherd's going to lead us. He's going to guide us. He's going to protect us. He's going to take us where the water is the best, the grass is the greenest and freshest. Now we need to go to Micah chapter 7. Didn't see that one coming, did you? Now, Micah is a unique individual. God told him to go marry a woman who was a prostitute. You go, how in the world? He did that to show Israel's going away from God. Unfaithfulness to God. So we are going to be in Micah chapter 7. We're going to start at verse 5. Micah 7, verse 5. Trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The man's enemies are the men in his own house. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Sometimes our closest friends, even our family, are the ones who are fighting against us. My brothers and sister, we were all raised in church. And apparently, once you go to church and get baptized, everything is good and everything's hunky-dory and you don't have to worry about it anymore because my sister drinks like a fish. I don't know, just they aren't living for God, you know, and I try to talk to them and it just they've been baptized, so everything is good. You can go under a, you know, get baptized as a sinner and come up a dry sinner, come up a wet sinner. Getting baptized doesn't change anything. I mean, you know, these little babies getting baptized and stuff. I guess that's kind of a false sense of security. I don't know. But when Micah was told to marry this woman, there was so much to Israel was going against God. They were going after other gods, other things, other desires, other than God. And I encourage you to read the book of Acts, learn about Paul. I encourage you to read the book of Micah to understand why this happened and how God was giving them warning and showed them how they would get out of all the things they were going through. God is not going to have us sin intentionally. That is not what God is doing here, having married this woman who was a prostitute. That's not what he is doing. He was giving an illustration to the children of Israel. You have wandered away from me. You have turned to other gods. Yes. Come back to me. Yes. Come back to me. I'll be your God, your Father, your Lord, everything. He is everything to us. Hosea, chapter 2, verse 5. This is kind of a different scripture. Hosea, verse 2, verse 5. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as the days of her youth and as the day that when they came up out of the land of Egypt. Now, I had no idea where the Valley of Achor was. I did a little bit of research, and I don't know if what I got was actually correct or not, because there's really no way of knowing. But it said that they thought it was close to where the remember the story of Ai? Where they were in a big old battle? Now, I'm not saying artificial intelligence. But they were in a big old battle, and God says, utterly destroy them. Everything. everything of theirs, destroy it. And Achan goes, You know, some of this stuff looks pretty neat. You know, he started taking a few things, you know, and he got him back to his tent, you know, and he dug a hole in the floor and he buried it, you know, and next thing you know, they're getting whooped bad. They're losing the battles. They're getting, their armies are being overwhelmed by a smaller army. They can't figure out what in the world is going on. There's sin in the camp. So once they found out where it was, God, they went through the lottery system, basically trying to find out where it was. You know, and they went through it, and they finally came to Achan's house. Just tent. God says, get rid of them. So him, his wife, his kids, his donkey, everything he had, everything he owned was taken outside. They were stoned, and everything was piled up and burned. Everything. Wiped the sin out of the camp. That has to happen to us. Our sin needs to be gone. The sin of our life needs to be totally eradicated. If there's sin in our life, we're not going to heaven. So how do we do that? Because every day we do something wrong, and you know, if God comes before I have a chance to, you know, ask for forgiveness. That's why the Bible says pray without ceasing. You know, throughout the day, Lord, Father, I may have done something. I know I did this or I did that. You know, constantly saying, Father, just draw me closer to you. Forgive me if I said something I shouldn't have said. Help me realize that you are with me. Guide my tongue. Guide my thoughts. Guide my intentions. Help me be more like you every single day. And as Pastor says, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, before you put your feet on the ground, you know, ask God to, you know, just take care of you. Do whatever. You know, draw me closer to you. Help me be like you. Lord, I know that before I hit the floor, I haven't cussed anybody out yet. I haven't hit anybody. I haven't thought bad thoughts. All these things, you know. And Lord, all these thoughts in my head, erase them and put your thoughts in there. Because every day that someone's going to come to you and going to make you mad, you want to punch them out, you want to say something that you want to say, God, guard my tongue. You know, put that bit in my mouth so I can, one way or the other, guard my tongue. Because how often, you know, I want to give a piece of my mind, but the thing is, I don't have that much of it left. I can't afford to let any of my mind go anywhere. You know, I have two brain cells left, one on the right, one on the left, and sometimes they don't communicate too well with each other. And one is going, I want you to do this. The other one goes, no, I don't want to do this. But we have to be sure that everything we do lines up with the Word of God. Our heart, our mind, our mouth, our eyes. There's an old song, you know, I forget how it goes exactly. You know, careful little eyes, what you see. Be careful with little mouth, what you say. You know, hands, what you do. Feet, where you go. We have to be sure that we are following God's footsteps. Every day we want to do things. God has no problem with us doing our job. God has no problem with us going grocery shopping or going doing things. But when we go, remember that people are watching us. People are listening to us. And if there's sin in our life, sooner or later it's going to come out. Be sure your sins will find you out. You know, you may not even know you're doing it. There may be something that you're not even aware of. And God speaks to someone else, and they come to you and go, just like when David was with Bathsheba. He didn't think it was wrong. Apparently, he's the king. I can do whatever I want. When the prophet came to him and said, you know, this guy had a lamb, and now it's gone. And who is he? I'll kill him. He said, well, it's you. Whoops. We have to know that we know that we know that we're right with God. Know it in our knower. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 37. Starting with verse 1. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And caused me to pass by them round about. Behold, there were many, very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Maybe your spiritual life is dry as bones right now. Maybe it's been a long time since you've been to church. Maybe it's been a long time since you prayed. Maybe it's been a long time since you asked God to forgive you. Maybe it's been a long time since you even thought about God. Your bones, your body is just like dry bones. The wind comes along and all the sinew, all the muscle, all the tissue is gone. There's nothing, just bone. Can these bones live again? If we speak the word of God over it, yes, they can. When you ask God to forgive you, to come in and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and to live within me, make me new, make me whole, He will do it. But you got to do it with a sincere heart. If you go to pray and nothing's happening, the Bible says sometimes we ask amiss. We don't have sincerity in our heart. I've had a lot of people, my brothers and other people, have said, you know, I prayed and prayed and prayed, nothing happened, so I guess, you know, there's no God, or God's not going to help me or something. If you pray and believe, you receive. If you pray and say, well, it's not going to happen, I guess. Then, no, it's not. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But you have to be vigilant. You know, I've heard people say, you know, if you pray for it once, don't pray for it again. How many times did Jesus go to the Father? Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Three times. It wasn't just once, it was three times. Over and over and over. But finally came to the point, he said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, what our will is may be totally contrary to what God's will is for us. So we have to know what our thoughts are. Our thoughts with God or for ourselves. When you find yourself in that valley, when you find yourself in a dry place, you find yourself out in the wilderness, you're in the water of life, and you're struggling, and you're struggling, and you're struggling, and nothing seems to happen, stop. Get on your face before God. Get on your knees. Put on your prayer cloth and begin to pray and seek God's face. And don't quit until you get through, until you break through. A lot of times people pray a time or two and they get up and walk away. What is prayer? Prayer is communication with God. If Vicki and I was going to have a communication and all I did was talk and she sat there and listened and I walk away and I didn't hear anything she said, is that actual communication? No, it's not. Well, yeah, I told you what, I told you what it's supposed to be, and you know, and my point of view is the most important anyway, so it's just, you know. But if we don't take time to listen, and when you go to bed at night, say, Father, speak to me. All the distractions of the day are gone. You know, keep them out of my head. Don't let me worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't worry about tomorrow. Lord, speak to me tonight. And He will. So when you find yourself in that place where it seems like nothing is going right, everyone is against you, everyone is saying all kind of negative things about you and saying that you are, you know, worthless, you're no good, you're whatever they say. No matter what you do, Don't turn your back on God. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep on keeping on. You know, when there's an old saying, I think I saw on a poster one time. When you're at the end of your rope, tie a knot on it and hang on. You see this? You see this cat, you know, holding on to this rope. You know, you find yourself just at wit's end and nothing is going right. Say, God, it's yours. You deal with it. I can't no more. There's just one last verse. We already talked about it. Psalms 23. I love this one. I love it. I love it. I love it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Not with my brother, not with my sister, not with my friend, not with my mom, dad, whatever. With you. If you are truly holding on to God, you're walking with Him, He's there with you. Even when you're not with Him, He's there. Waiting for you to say, okay, God, I surrender. God, I'm yours. So when you are in church service and you raise your hands praying, what are you doing? You're surrendering to God. I give it all to you. Lord, search my heart. See if there be any wicked way within me. Lord, if there's anything that I'm holding back. I know there's some things I really, really like that this part of my heart is not open for you. Everything else is okay, but this one little spot here, I'm holding on to for myself. The entire being, Lord, is yours. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet, my right hand to my left, inside and out, every single cell is yours. Lord, do with it as you see fit. And He will. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod is to guide you. He also gives them comfort because they're familiar with the shepherd. They know the shepherd's pace. They know the shepherd's voice. They know that shepherd. We should know the shepherd of our life. We know His voice and follow no other shepherd. If the Bible says a hireling comes on and I use a wolf or a bear or whatever, comes and tries to steal the flock, the hireling goes, "They ain't mine, I'm out of here." Nope. A true shepherd will be in the middle trying to get rid of that wolf or that bear or whatever. Protect the sheep. Our shepherd is there to protect us. So, Pastor, I give it to you to be prayed up, to be encouraged. We just praise you and we thank you for doing all the things that you do. But right now, if there's anybody who needs special prayer, who is in need of anything, Father, we just come to you right now. Lord, I have given, seemingly poorly, but I've given what you have given to me. And Lord, I just turn it over to you to speak to each and every heart. Not just the ones here in this church building, but those who are listening or watching online. Maybe today, maybe next week, maybe next year, if you tarry. Someone will hear this and go, "That's for me." So, Father, right now we say, Father, if there's anyone here today who does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray, Lord, that they would ask you right now, before it's too late, to forgive them of their sins, to cleanse them of all unrighteousness, to make them a new creature in you. And Father, is anyone who is sick, I pray for their healing right now in Jesus' name, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. If we ask anything in your name, you said that you would do it, the Father be glorified in the Son. If we ask anything in your name, that you would do it. Lord, I pray for healing. I pray for deliverance. I pray for marriages to be brought back together. I pray for families to be reunited. I pray for the drug addict to be completely free of the drugs, the alcohol, the cigarettes, all the things that are holding them back, holding them down, trying to destroy them. I come against that right now in Jesus' name. Lord, those who are in prison, I pray, Lord God, that you would speak to their heart, that they would be free in spirit and eventually free physically, that they may go and do the things that you have for them to do. But, Lord, be a ministry in prison. Lord, let us be your mouthpiece wherever we go. And Lord, we just give you glory, praise, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.